Joining us now from the city of Jacksonville, you can hear him on 1010 XL Radio as well. First Coast News, College Sports Notebook, and working with the Florida Gators for so many years and covering the SEC. Brent Baird, kind enough to make time each and every Monday at 5:30 with us here. Brent, I hope you had a good weekend.
We did. We're still trying to keep up with all that is going on within the coaching ranks and also with the transfer portal, which is probably gets more amazing every day.
It's insane now, honestly.
Well, it is. There absolutely is no question about that. So, and listen, just trying to keep up with the quarterback transfers just over within the last 24 hours is mind-boggling within itself.
Brent, the opportunity to shift over real quick, and we'll get to the Heisman Trophy, but the chance of Urban Meyer getting into a transfer portal to his Columbus bar before the season's over?
Probably pretty high at this point. But he has done just an abysmal job internally with this football team, and in instead of showing some humility, and he doubles down on whoever the think was that ratted us out, we've got to get rid of him type thing. So it is a miserable football team, frankly, that, I mean, they've got the Texans coming up, the Jets coming up. Gosh, can you imagine how bad those two games are going to be? But again, just suffice to say, with Sean Conn, who is very loyal to his coaches, and I don't use this loosely, who dreamed of having Urban Meyer as his head coach? Will he pull the trigger on him after 1 year? It would be logical, but you just don't know with Conn.
Well, I hope you didn't leak it, Brent. He's coming for your job. You know, that's what he's. I'm coming for everybody in the media that threw this out here. That's how you're all unemployed. That's Urban. Just he continues getting his way, and you know, I hope people realize this guy did win 3 national titles. He's one of the greatest college football coaches ever, but he's the guy that he's going to end his life where people are going to remember him for the negatives over such incredible achievements of what he's actually accomplished.
Well, Urban is a ridiculously complex and conflicted individual. As you mentioned, frankly, on his own merits as a football coach, is one of the best there's ever been. Particularly as an elite recruiter when he was at Florida and Ohio State. But the problem is, it just has not been able to get on board with these players. They don't have any respect for him. He's trying to be a college coach in the NFL, and that just doesn't work. So you put all that together, and there's no secret. They've got the record they do.
Yeah, Brent, jumping over to college football. So I have a question for you about just overall this off season and just even the season in general. So we got the transfer portal stuff that's going on now. We've got, the coaching carousel where I believe there have been 29 coaching changes so far this off season. Also, you know, a group of 5 team in the college football playoff for the first time. When we look back on this season, you know, 10 years from now, how crazy is this season going to rank in terms of changes in college football, whether that be the portal, the playoff expansion, coaching changes, group of 5 in the playoff? How is this going to rank amongst the other crazy seasons in college football, if you will?
Probably due to blue blood transferring to blue blood and blue blood programs exchanging blue blood coaches. I think that will be what it will be remembered for. To have Notre Dame and Florida, Oklahoma and USC all open at the same time, frankly, is almost unparalleled in what we've ever seen before. So I think as much as anything else, that's what it's going to be remembered. Just having the kind of turnover in the major programs that we have had, it is frankly been remarkable. I mean, Duke finding a new coach in Mike Elko of A&M is one thing, but when you're talking about Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame and going to LSU, Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma going to USC, you just don't see that every year.
Yeah, and speaking of the portal, obviously, like you said, you got Bo Nix transferring. You've got Calzada from Texas A&M. You've got Keaton Slovis. You got Max Johnson also leaving from LSU, and amongst more, you know, with Dylan Gabriel, Adrian Martinez. The Bo Nix one, I think I was a little bit surprised by, but do you think this was a situation where Brian Harsin just had an honest meeting with Bo and was like, hey, man, I think I'm going to go with TJ Finley next year? Because I know that when Bo Nix posted on Instagram that he was leaving, he did say it was with a heavy heart. Obviously, I don't think in his heart he wants to leave, but maybe for his footballing future, he feels like this might be the best decision.
I don't know if we will know what happened here for a while. Now, the other part of this is his father, Patrick Nix, who is one of the better high school coaches in the state of Alabama. I think what we don't know here is that Patrick put on a persuasive argument for him to get that offensive coordinator job. And if that fell through, did Bo decide he's going to? We don't know. But the relationship with Bo and the Auburn media and the Auburn fans is rather, I would say, inconsistent. It's been up and down. Bo, if he is with a quarterback coach or coach who can get him to go back to more of the fundamentals, could have some real success with him. But I tell you what, it certainly leaves Auburn in a lurch as they look probably to the transfer portal, perhaps with some of the coaches you mentioned a few minutes ago.
Yeah, so I guess one intrigue, obviously you mentioned him being paired with a coach. Does Nebraska make any sense for Bo Nix? Obviously, Scott Frost is a defensive guy, but Mark Whipple being hired as the OC there, he matured Kenny Pickett, if you will. He was his mentor. Do you think that, of course, with Bo only, you know, not having too long a time, does Nebraska make sense for him, or is that not a school that you think he will end up going to? Or could?
I think anything's up for grabs right now with Bo. Bo needs to go somewhere where they pretty well got most of the pieces together, like a fairly veteran offensive line, along with skill position players that would probably pay off best for him. And I think he may very well want to change conferences and just have a fresh start all the way around. So, I was a bit surprised Adrian Martinez left Nebraska, but I think he and the fans have had enough of each other at that point. So, I really don't think that Bo's the best quarterback of these transfers. I think Slovis from Southern Cal may be the best. I was quite surprised, or maybe subtly surprised, about Calzada from A&M. I mean, he did the best he could this year. He's not a stellar quarterback, which shows you Haynes King's going to be the guy. And we know that Jimbo can recruit. So where these guys go is going to be one of the great mysteries that we've got over the next few days.
Yeah, and we've got our guy here at wide receiver, Jacob Copeland from Pine Forest, who will be playing in the States, and you know, he's heading out of Florida. I know that didn't go well, but have you had any any news on where he might go?
No, none at this point. That's going to be interesting. I think, and that's unfortunate, Zachary Carter's heading out too. But I think part of this, guys, is – Billy Napier sat down with these guys and told them, look, you're welcome to stay here, but there's going to be competition, and you certainly will have your shot. And let's be honest about this. I think Copeland, coming out of a high school situation, was really good and had a lot of potential. That just happened. It just really hadn't happened with him. I'll couch this as more of a rumor that it put some things on social media that weren't very flattering. Some of that may have been issued too, but I really don't think, Chad, that Napier is going to be very patient with any poor attitudes on this team at the moment.
No, he's coming in there. That the whole entire state of Florida, really, with Cristobal now and with Billy Napier.
Yes.
These guys just you don't have to meet somebody for more than 5 seconds to get to know somebody, really. You don't know that all their background or what they did in college or what their preference of beer is, but the things where you can meet somebody within 5 seconds and realize, you know, the body language of somebody and the person they are. Billy Napier and Mario Cristobal just seem like the kind of people that walk in a room and they're taking names, meaning that they're not playing games, that these guys are business, and they have a presence about them, like they win. And at the same time, you're either on their team or you're not. Like, even that stuff when Mario Cristobal got on the player for the 15-yard penalty, that pretty much cost them the game. They could have cost them the game. Like people were going crazy, like Cristobal was attacking this kid.
Yeah.
And I looked at that as Mario Cristobal was trying to paint a presence that we work all week in practice to win a game, and because of your nonsense, you almost cost our entire team a game. And I like that. If you do it because a guy maybe is just you don't like a guy or things like that, that's not fair. But I'm passionate in ways too, where I don't have time for people like the Chase Claypool, the Pittsburgh, like giving a first down signal when your team is there's 30 seconds going on. I don't have time for that nonsense. And you can see both of these coaches have that type of demeanor, and I think they're going to go far because of it. I don't know if they're not going to win right away. You're not just going to rebuild Miami and Florida overnight. No. It's going to be a process, but Mike Norvell's a little bit nicer than them. I think Norvell's doing the right thing. Norvell's a little bit more of a softy compared to these two, but these two these aren't guys you would want to mess with. And guess who has? Guess what coach has that type of demeanor? I don't know. Who is that coach out there? Is it a guy in Tuscaloosa? It doesn't take much nonsense from people, the kids love him, and he gets a bunch of them to the NFL, and he says he'll do anything, and he defends them with a passion, and people cheer about him at a place called Baumhauer's, but they are drunk, and he keeps telling them, quit yelling at our kids. And, you know, it gets to the point where I think it's going to be exciting to see. I'm excited for the state of Florida as Gus Malzahn looks retired out there at the Villages at UCF. So, he can recruit, though. He can recruit.
Point well taken. There needed to be a new sheriff in town for both Florida and Miami, and beyond recruiters, these guys are really good organizers. And to your point, they're going to bring in guys that are going to create competition. That's what you see in Alabama. Is you don't put up with any kind of nonsense because you may be a five star, but we've got several five stars on the bench, and you can be replaced in a moment's notice. So, and the problem is you have not had that going on at Florida and Miami, but I can tell you that's about to begin.
Yeah, Brent, in terms of one school I think that we've seen, you know, obviously lose a lot is Clemson. I think they're a school that will be intriguing to follow with, you know, Venables leaving, Tony Elliott leaving, and then the AD going from Clemson to Miami. I mean, is this one of those seasons, obviously Dabo's not on any sort of a hot seat, but is Clemson one of the most intriguing teams that we might be able to watch next year, just in terms of, you know, seeing actually how good of a coach Dabo is, because he doesn't have Venables there, he doesn't have his OC, the AD left, so it's just Dabo. You know, is there any sort of judgment that may come down on Dabo depending on how he does next year or how Clemson does as a whole?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's faced with something Nick Saban deals with every year, and that's replacing quality assistants who leave for other jobs. So this is brand new for him to kind of see how this is going to go. So I agree. He is not on a hot seat. that's not going to happen. But these hires are going to be extremely important for him as he begins to rebuild the staff and, frankly, rebuild his football team.
Yeah, and I think, too, one thing is they got to find a coherent quarterback. You know, that would help at this point.
Yeah.
But overall, when it comes down to looking at Georgia, Dan Lanning, he's going to coach in the game. He's going to head out to Oregon, though. I wanted to ask you the question, Brent. You know, is this a hire? He's done a good job, but also many people, as Tom Osborne would say, it's about the Jimmies and the Joes can work with those type of players. I mean, those are all beasts when it comes to speed and size. Is Dan Lanning really capable of being a head coach, in your opinion?
That's a wonderful question. We just don't know that yet. Is Brent Venables going to Oklahoma in the same situation? So, yeah. I mean, you've got frankly, both longtime D coordinators, and I'm glad to see defensive guys get jobs. I think that's refreshing to see, not just offensive talent in the coaching ranks, but we have no background with these guys. For a lot of these guys, if I'm not being disparaging here, but if they could go to a Duke or they could go to Southern Miss or somewhere like that and cut their teeth a little bit before they got an upper echelon job, I think it would help. But these guys, they don't have that opportunity. They're in the deep end of the pool. I hope for both those schools' sake that both of them aren't going to be over their head and really struggling in the beginning.
Brent, we got about a minute here, and sorry, this should have been our first question, but the Heisman Trophy, I know you have a vote, which is a very prestigious honor, and you had Bryce Young as your pick as well. What did you see compared to some of the numbers? Were you surprised that Hutchinson was second? Break down a little of what you overall assessed with your list.
Well, I had Bryce Young and then Matt Corral of Ole Miss and then Will Anderson of Alabama. I'm glad to see Hutchinson the situation, Will Anderson, him being mentioned in there. And frankly, Will Anderson doubled every number that Hutchinson had. And a lot of folks were real lazy in looking at that. I still say Bryce won it on the final weekend against Georgia. Otherwise, I'm not sure how this thing would have gone, because we pretty much all of us went into this on the last weekend. And it was very close. So Young able to beat Georgia, that caused a lot of eyes on him. But I would say week to week, it was the closest Heisman race that we had going into the final weekend.
Brent, good stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend, and have yourself a safe time.
Yeah, you guys too. Take care.